From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Person and Work of Christ as the Very Substance of the Gospel. We live in an age when there is much confusion and misunderstanding about the gospel. On the one hand, there are preachers who emphasize only the death of Christ to the exclusion of his earthly life and what that means for his people. Then there are those who proclaim a message designed to make their listeners feel good about themselves, completely ignoring the need to address the claims of God's law and the terrible fate that awaits sinners who die without faith and repentance. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it is imperative that men and women have a clear and accurate understanding of the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the introduction to the message, The Person and Work of Christ, the Very Substance of the Gospel of Saving Grace. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Rain Without Clouds? Never. The text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Why then do we dread the clouds which now darken our sky? True, for a while they hide the sun, but the sun is not quenched. He will shine out again before long. Meanwhile, those black clouds are filled with rain, and the blacker they are, the more likely they are to yield plentiful showers. How can we have rain without clouds? Our troubles have always brought us blessings. They always will. They are the black chariots of bright grace. These clouds will empty themselves before long, and every tender herb will be the gladder for the shower. Our God may drench us with grief, but He will not drown us with wrath. Nay, He will refresh us with mercy. Our Lord's love letters often come to us in black-edged envelopes. His wagons rumble, but they are loaded with benefits. His rod blossoms with sweet flowers and nourishing fruits. Let us not worry about the clouds, but sing because May flowers are brought to us through the April clouds and showers. O Lord, the clouds are the dust of Thy feet. How near Thou art in the cloudy and dark day! Love beholds Thee and is glad. Faith sees the clouds emptying themselves and making the little hills rejoice on every side.
Peace in the midst of my storm.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Romans chapter 1. Remember some weeks ago when we started these studies, I quoted the opinion of Martin Luther that every Christian should memorize the book of Romans in its entirety. I have to confess, I have not been able thus far to do that. And I doubt that I will live long enough to do that, given my state of memory. It would take me to live to the age of Methuselah. But there are great passages in Romans. Well, let me rephrase that. Amidst all the great passage that makes up Romans, there are passages that lend themselves to being memorized. And the opening chapter is one of those passages, especially the first half of the chapter. It is really quite easy to memorize the first 17 or 18 verses of this chapter. Now, we're going through the chapter quite slowly, and therefore that gives you many, many opportunities to memorize. And I trust that as we read together, you will seek to commit these words to memory. The opening verses again of Romans chapter 1. We're reading the first seven verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. This evening we mark real progress in Romans chapter 1, because in the sixth study we now reach verses 3 and 4. We intend to take them together, but whether we get them all through tonight or not, the Lord knows. We will find out in due course. Verse 1 ends with the words, the gospel of God. Verse 2 is placed in parentheses in our English translation so that we may make the direct connection between the end of verse 1, the beginning of verse 3. So let's read it that way. The gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Actually, let me read the words in the order in which they appear in the Greek text. For translation purposes, this is absolutely right, and it shouldn't be otherwise, for many reasons I'll not go into now. But just to let you see the force and feel the emphasis where Paul placed it, he spoke of the gospel of God concerning his Son, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how Paul wrote it. And I like that for the simple reason that it places the emphasis where it ought to be and where we will seek to place it tonight. He's dealing further with the gospel. And he says it concerns his Son. And he tells us a lot about the person and the doings of the Son. Then he finishes by focusing our attention upon the Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the gospel is simply the good news of how God righteously justifies sinners. That is how He, a God of truth and righteousness, can declare ungodly, guilty sinners righteous. That's the gospel. How He can do that is the substance, essence of the gospel. Now, let that statement arrest our attention, as it ought to do. For it shows us that salvation is a divine miracle. Think of this. God is holy. He is of purer eyes than complacently to behold iniquity. Even the heavens are unclean in His sight. God is holy. God is just. And God is true. We are unholy. We are ungodly. We are unrighteous. So the question that must be answered is, how can God remain true to His own nature? How can God, without compromising His own holiness, justice, or truth, as our judge, pass a sentence of acquittal and indeed of acceptance upon us sinners, declaring us to be perfectly, absolutely righteous in His sight? That is the question of the ages. If you know the answer to that question, you know the gospel. If you have experienced the answer to that question, you have experienced the gospel. And insofar as you fudge the answer to that question, to that degree, you are in ignorance of the gospel. This is the question that the gospel of Jesus Christ addresses and, thank God, answers. If you go back in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may recollect the occasion when the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus asking what he must do to be saved. When the Lord Jesus allowed that young ruler, that very upright, moral, law-abiding, devout man to go away rich but ruined, he told his disciples that it was hard for such a man ever to be saved. And the disciples were immediately amazed and confused. To them, the rich young ruler represented all that was best in man. And if any man could be saved, in their estimation, it would have been this rich young ruler. Yet here was the Lord Jesus Christ saying, in effect, that it was almost impossible for him to be saved. So in desperation, the disciples turned to the Savior and they said, "Who then can be saved?" Do you get not only the desperation, but the in their answer, their question to Christ? You've just said, such a person, it's almost impossible to see him saved. Who then can be saved? We may well share their desperation, not just about the religious men, such as the rich young ruler, but about all men, all sinners, including ourselves. If God is holy, if God is just, and if God is true, and if we are depraved and ungodly and unrighteous, how can any of us ever be saved? Christ's answer to the disciples is significant. With men, it is impossible. I want you to know that. The world has never found a way of suggesting an answer or a way of salvation for sinners Not one single religion that the world has ever produced has come within a million miles of suggesting an answer of how sinners can be saved that does not dethrone God, deny God, and despise the holy attributes of God. Not one. With men it's impossible. But not with God. For with God all things are possible. In other words, while it is impossible for sinners to save themselves, it is possible for God in His infinite wisdom and in His infinite power to save sinners, to remain just, as Romans 3:26 puts it, just and yet to justify the ungodly. None but He can do such a miracle. And that's why Paul calls the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. But he also calls it the gospel of Christ. Because God's plan depends totally and entirely upon the person and on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the great truth that verses 3 and 4 expound. The gospel reveals how a righteous God righteously declares sinners righteous. That's what the gospel tells us. This is the only message. This is the force of verses 3 and 4. This is the only message that does justice to the truth about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Stop and think of it. Without Paul's great statement of the gospel, without this understanding of the gospel for what it really is, we would be hard-pressed to say why God's eternal Son had to be made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Apart from understanding the gospel, we'd be hard-pressed to explain the significance of Christ's life on earth. In fact, I'm going to launch out on a limb here and don't want to sound overcritical. But it is one of the great weaknesses of evangelical preaching nowadays that the way of salvation has focused almost entirely upon the death of Christ and has had no understanding whatsoever of the life of Christ. Now, I will be the last one to complain if somebody preaches biblically about Christ's death. I love to hear sermons about the blood, about the cross. And if you have been very long in attendance in this place, I think you'll be able to bear witness that this is a pulpit that never is silent about the cross or the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it ever does go silent on that, I hope that God burns it to the ground. It doesn't deserve to exist. But if any man seeks to preach the cross without understanding the significance of the life of Christ, he will end up not only omitting the life and its significance, he will end up perverting the doctrine and the message of the cross. You can't separate the one from the other. But unless you understand what Paul is talking about in this gospel that we're looking at in the Epistle to the Romans, you'd be hard put to say what the significance of Christ's life on earth was, or to appreciate all that the Bible says about his death, or to grasp the significance of his resurrection.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, You may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.